Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation that is found in the written word. Our eyes behold Jesus, even as he sees us in himself. He's glorified, we're edified, today, tomorrow, forever. Amen. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 2. It's good to know that you are here inside of me. It's good to know that you are here to watch my world. It's good to know that you are here when I call, when I call. It's good to know that you are here. It's good to know. It's good to know that you are here inside of me. That's all. It's good to know that you are here to watch my world. It's good to know that you are here when I call, when I call. It's good to know that you are here. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, our God,
our God.
Yeah, Lord. Your blood fills,
your glory fills the heavens.
Beyond the Father's stars.
How excellent your name is on the earth.
O Lord our God.
O Lord our God.
How excellent.
How excellent
your name is. How excellent your name in all the earth. Your glory fills.
Your glory fills the heavens. Beyond the Father's star. How excellent your name in all the earth.
Together, when I look into the heavens, let's go. When I look into the heavens, the moon and all the stars,
I wonder what the Lord has found in me.
You saved me and you loved me.
You saved me and you loved me.
You've given me,
you gave me
the account. And I praise your name
eternally.
O Lord our God.
O Lord our God.
How excellent.
How excellent your name is.
How excellent your name in all the earth. Your glory fills.
Your glory
fills the heavens beyond.
Beyond the Father's stars.
How excellent.
How excellent your name beyond the earth.
Hallelujah. Amen. The sky is what? The sky is what?
Blue.
Amen. Who called the red? Amen. The sky is blue. Glory to God. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 2. I don't know whether your sky is red. Or the sky is blue. Hallelujah. Acts 2, 4, verse 14. Now I'm pausing to see how that sound, that noise can go down. So that's why I've been pausing a while. Amen. I guess it's better like this now. Hallelujah. Verses 14, but Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and hearken to my words. These are not drunken as they suppose, seeing that it is for the third hour of the day. But verse 16, I say, but this is that. That is the theme of our convention. This is that, which is spoken by the prophet Joel. So we began looking at this. Hallelujah. I will say, what Peter is doing is that he is explaining their experience. In chapter 2 from verse 1, they were in one accord in one piece, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. Hallelujah. And it sounded from, like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they appeared unto them, divided tongues as a fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we said yesterday that when they said they were filled with the Holy Ghost, that is what is called spiritual baptism, right? To be baptized in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. To be baptized with the Spirit or baptized in the Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's what it means. Hallelujah. And we say that experience is not the same with when a man gets born again. Hallelujah. When a man gets born again, he can then also have such experiences. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, Peter stood up to explain their experience. And he explained their experience, he didn't give gists. He didn't give tales by moonlight. No. What did he do? He explained it from scriptures. He explained that experience as scripture fulfilled. He said, this is that which is spoken by the prophet. And then we said, you cannot therefore say the Old Testament is gone, because Jesus read from there. Hallelujah. The apostles also read from the Old Testament book, Genesis down to Malachi. They read from there. So, as I said, it is heresy for you to say Moses is gone, the Old Testament is gone, because it's not actually gone. Jesus read the Old Testament book. Peter and the apostles read from there also. Hallelujah. Open your mind. Therefore we said that the concept of words in the New Testament book will have its origin where? In the Old Testament book, because they were writing from there. Peter said this is that was spoken by the prophet, and was written from the Old Testament book. Jesus in John 5:39 will say, you search the scripture. What was scriptures to Jesus? Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. You search the scriptures and then you think you have eternal life. Luke 24 verse 27, and beginning at Moses, Jesus, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, beginning at Moses. So Jesus read Moses. In Acts 28 verse 23, we discover too that Paul did the same thing. He expounded from Moses and all the prophets. Therefore it is wrong for you to say Moses is gone. Okay, yeah, yeah. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes people can have good oratory, and I think good oratory is sound doctrine. They are two different things. Okay, yeah, yeah. Good oratory is not sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is scriptures well explained. And that is how God can be known. We say theology, scriptures is theology, Bible well explained. And the difference between those who were knowledgeable, who are the Pharisees, from Jesus was how they presented the Bible truth. They didn't read well. And Jesus in Matthew 19 will say to them, have you not read? Did you see that? In Matthew 16, from verse 6 to 12, he told his disciples to be aware, to beware of the doctrines of the Pharisees. He called it leaven, meaning it is not well explained. He called it leaven, corrupted. Amen. Corrupted. Hallelujah. Beware of the living of the Pharisees. It's not called the doctrine, their mode of explanation. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, the Bible says after Jesus was done with all his teaching, which he started from chapter 5 into chapter 7, the Bible says the people who were there were astonished at his doctrine. That is the word mode of explanation. He said, for he thought as one having authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees. Can you see that? Not as the scribes and the Pharisees. Matthew 7:28. How do you follow him? You should be looking at your Bibles. Matthew 7:20. What are described by the prophecies? So it tells you that Jesus' mode of explanation of scripture is different from that of the Pharisees. Though the Pharisees were knowledgeable, or they are astute, I shouldn't use the word knowledgeable there. Rather, the Pharisees are astute students of scriptures. They know Moses' Torah by heart, yet they did explain it well. Their mode of explanation is wrong. Hallelujah. Mode of explaining it was wrong. Glory, glory, glory. And I said, how should scriptures be read? We said, you should read everything, starting from Genesis. When Jesus said, beginning at Moses, he used that Greek word, arche, meaning, is the word used for a model. You have to start from the beginning. How many of you will go to an exam and you start reading a book of 20 chapters, started reading from chapter 18, and you want to get an A? How? Someone say, give us AOC. Area of concentration. Well, for some people, AOC is AOC. Air Officer Commanding Logistics Command. Amen? They give us AOC. Some people go for key points. And I told us earlier on, you cannot use key point and have an A. In fact, you'll be struggling for C or D. Somebody is not reading above you. Reading above you, know how big above you is. And you now use key point and put it in your back pocket. And then, oh well, I'll get A. This is only A. You're a joker. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So that means you have to read scriptures. Read it. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Timothy was sent to by Paul to study the scripture. That's what to be diligent there for this. Says, study to show thyself approved. He said, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. Was referring to the scriptures. He says, study to show thyself approved. A workman, meaning, he says, a workman, that's what Egerty is, one who talks. Meaning, Bible study is labor. You have to read well. Amen. Bible study is not what you do in the midnight when you want to sleep. You are now reading your Bible and struggling with sleep. Amen. When you say, I am the Lord God, you say, smart is the Lord God. You are asleep, you are fighting. Amen. You don't ever wake up like this and say, Bible study is labor. Amen. Labor. You will look at it, you will check it again. You look at it, you check it again. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly, meaning, see, you cannot afford to just say any nonsense because you have an opportunity to handle the Bible. You can't. You can't afford to just make some funny statements. And we saw a few. Hallelujah. Until Job 42, you wouldn't know that everything Job has been talking about was that what? Was from popular opinion. You wouldn't know. And you find people come out and say, naked will came, naked will go. Is it the Bible? Is it the Bible? Is it the Bible? Naked will came, naked will go. Is it the Bible? But what did Job say in chapter 4? They say, everything I've heard is what? Popular. He said, I've known thee by the hearing of the ear. Yet say, what have you knew God? That's what people do. How they know God. Everything they know about God was what they watched on the TV. Everything they know about God was what they see. So in their mind, they think that God is in a battle with the devil. God, battle with the devil. Come on now. Because you see people who are not even Christian act pastors and they're doing and they're carrying down their appointing. So in the night, they're kind of like where did you learn that from? I went somewhere on time, they say, carry your spiritual sword. Sword! I don't know if I just do their hand like this. Sword! Your hand was your sword. Come down every cut. Your hand can't even cut it out. Glory to God. Come on. Don't let your knowledge of God be what you hear about. Some people hear them say, heaven help those who make themselves. Kindness is next to godliness. Where did he hear it from? Popular opinion. Hallelujah. Let's look at a few things. Hallelujah. So we said, the origin of words in the New Testament will be from the Old Testament. Hallelujah. So, I mustn't give words in the scriptures today's interpretation. I mustn't give words in scriptures today's interpretation. It will be very wrong. And I gave us an example. Someone who said he has known, he now knows who Paul's father is. Who is Paul's father? I said the man, the thief that was crucified with Jesus. Because Paul said, my old man was crucified with Christ. So felt, no, you can't. Paul's old man was there, was referring to his old nature, not his father. So you can't give words in scripture today's meaning. Okay, hear me. When was scripture written thousands of years ago? And you expect that the language thousands of years ago will be the same today? No. Hallelujah. Amen. So that means I must subject myself to their world and hear things from their world. Hallelujah. In the same way, anybody who never grew up under, okay, let's say I want to write to a generation of people around 2006, 2005. Or I wrote a book and I wrote about Baba Max, no, Baba White. I can bet you, everybody sitting inside here do not know Baba White. Baba White. But I'm white and I'm using Islam. For you to understand what I'm talking about, you must have stayed around Matthew. I must have attended his lesson. You know who Baba White is? Hallelujah. He was the one that solved, I have my name. He was the one that solved mass wire question for us, for them in my church. So, not for me. They brought it to me around 10 p.m. in the morning. Say, this is a school that's come up. And then for what? Say, this one I did. It's Baba White that solved it. The person that gave it to me was someone that I respected because he was the president of, no, the different president of our fellowship then in school. So I carried it. I looked at it. You know what I did? I put it at the last. I was reading my book. I don't solve my story. For those who know me, I don't solve my, I read mass. So I carried it, I put it in it. So I was just reading. Someone called me the most funny accountant you have ever seen. Who would go for an account exam without a calculator? Amen. But that is just me. So I just carried it. I was reading my own book. For my work, I guess I read, preparing for my master's, and I read my regional mathematics, it was 1, 2, 3. I had to finish it again to write that master's exam. So, I was reading my regional mathematics. That's surprising, right? What I read. So, 1, 2, 3. So I don't go to that question maybe around 11:30. Yeah, around that time. So I just carried the question. I started looking at it. Look at it. I just went downstairs. I went to meet my vice president. My vice president. He was staying in the same room. He was looking at it. I said, see, take. He said, why? This is obviously. This thing is nonsense solving. But this mass is nonsense. Now, how can you solve this like this? I mean, take it and don't do this. Yeah, like, you know who solved it? Baba White! That means commands respect. I said, you like, let it be Baba Black. This thing is wrong. Lo and behold, I can't go to school. Everybody had the same joke. Everybody had the same joke. I'm not trying to talk to some Christian. So Christians say, bro, this is wrong. You say, stay here. 6 years. What to train with 6 years? Christians don't know. I just said that the example. In my head, I was like, if I don't know it, my next partner is a college student. He will lose it. When I was at the example, I was not waiting for my sixth partner to come. My sixth partner did not come. What? I got the question, I had to solve it. And when I saw the question, I was happy.
What was happening? Every tumor was in that coast on paper. Not even dots came out. I was so happy. I just went out there and thank you, Jesus. I love my book. I was so happy. Tell us of it. Know when you are confident. Tell us of it. Lord, my wonderful science partner came on Sunday. And he opened. He just gave me a question. He was so eager. If you can choke. Oh, Lord. The way he brought out the choke, just put it inside the paper. And he entered the answer sheet. People have things, you know. Don't put the choke there. They didn't tell me. But me, I used to report people that carry choke. A lot of my mates know before that. Carry choke. Keep carrying the choke. But at that point, when he opened his course of paper and look at choke, he think he not correspond. He not choke at all. The guy just shouted. The guy shouted in the hall. He said, damn. I look at that. When he said damn, I just look at it. Fine student. Better mind yourself now, right? I said, fuck! That one is there. Use the F1. This thing is not clean. My brother lifted his head. I was not writing like that. He didn't read. He depended on choke. And the team man choked it. You know? Well, I did some other things I shouldn't say online. You know, did some other things. I just had to help him out. Help the brother for 6 years. The 6 years was going down. But when you, I know they used to see his result. Right off. No writing. Because you wouldn't see me do my dance mask. I don't. Can you take this enough? Okay. So just use your head. So can't use your tongue to count your teeth. Depends on copying me, I will not copy complete. Don't be sick. What did I do? So let's continue. Amen. So, you can't. Hallelujah. Hope you can hear me from the back. It's coming out there, right? Okay, it's good. So, as they are. Okay, how can I even get into this? My story. So, Kadi, you must read everything, right? Yeah, so you must substitute to their word and then you must study well. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, Bible study is theology. You can't know God outside the Bible. Any material you try to use to know God can never reveal God. It's only the Bible that tells you who God is. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's only the Bible that reveals who God is to you. Hallelujah. So, very vital is in Bible study, you must ask yourself, you know, I say you have to sit in the seat of the first audience. Oh, must someone tell you about my work, right? Baba Mass. And then I went to the thing with the oh, sorry. So, if I'm to write now, and I want to write about. How many of you know where it's called Mpontiti? Okay, these are bad children. You will know Mpontiti because you were in Enugu. Amen. So if I use the Mpontiti slant, if you want to understand those slants, you have to go to Mpontiti. The same way too, if I use, for some people, okay, some of you have done NYS, they will know my market. If I use Magajia, and I write it, Magajia. You know, if you are reading, I am Magajia, and you were never born inside the base, or Mama Asabi. You are Mama Asabi. Asabi. You have to come to the base, Air Force Base, to know who Mama Asabi is. Right? Right? Or I'm writing, and I now write Orime
You think it's a willing God, but you don't know it's somebody who is in charge of the game shop. Amen? What am I following? So you must subject yourself to what? Their word. Hallelujah. What am I following? So, scriptures, Bible was written years ago. Thousands of years ago. You cannot give it to this man. It will be wrong. And we saw the use of the word hate. Many times when the word hate is used in Bible, it's not used for hatred. It just means to show I prefer this, yes. It doesn't mean it is hatred. So you can't subject words to your world today. No! Word has evolved. Words have evolved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's see another word that people are beginning to use anyhow in our world today. That's the use of the word church. Church of God. Where is the church of God? Now people don't think when you hear the word church of God, it means you hear somebody say, I am the church of God. How will you say I am the church of God? You cannot be the church of God. Amen. You cannot be the church of God. That word church is from the Greek word ecclesia. In Matthew 16, when Jesus said, I will build my church. Is the word ecclesia is used for a called out people, not called out person. Called out people. Now remember, I will say you must subject words to its original usage, right? The origin of the word church is from the Hebrew word quara. Quara. Q-A-H-A-L. And what you, I'll just be fast. And that word is used for a people, not a person. Not a person, is used for a people together. Assembly. This is that assembly. That word is different from another word, Ida. Ida is used for a crowd. And I'm going to tell you the difference. Ida is used for a crowd of different people. But Kwara is used for an assembly of people with the same ideology. Do you see that? A crowd can have mixed multitude, but here is dealing with what? A people with the same ideology. People with the same ideology. When that word quara is used, it's not a heavenly word, like I said to us earlier. There's nothing called heavenly word. Is the word that they know in their world. Now, when that word quarrel is used, it's used for when people come together for a political or a legal purpose, for a purpose. They come together. Many times, it's used for family heads of family. When they come together to meet, that meeting point is called an assembly, it's called a quarrel. Did you see that? So, therefore, they are united by a common factor. So, when Jesus says, I will build my church. So it shows you the focus of his church. It shows you the focus of the gathering. Hallelujah. A gathering, right? And the focus will be Jesus Christ. Hope you're following me. Will be Jesus Christ. You're God. But take note, not a single person is called church. I wonder some references for you to read. Genesis 28, verse 3. Para. Genesis 35:11. Genesis 48:4. Because of talking now. Genesis 28:3, 35:11, 48:4. We have Exodus 12:6, an assembly. Exodus 16:3, a whole assembly. Leviticus 4:13, Leviticus 4:14, Leviticus 4:21, Leviticus 16:17. I'll take it again. Genesis 28:3, 35:11, 48:4. Exodus 12:6, Exodus 16:3, Leviticus 4:13-14, Leviticus 16:17. Hallelujah. It's always used for a group. Now, the apostles, when they were to use that word, ecclesia, which is church, wasn't used for a person. It's used for a group of people. In Romans 16:1, lives for churches. Romans 16:4, the church in your heart, not one person, the church in your heart. Romans 16:5 and 16. Romans 16:5, Romans 16:16, Romans 16:23. Philippians 3:5-6, Philippians 4:15. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's very vital you know this. Very, very vital. Glory to God. So, many times, like we've seen, the origin of words can come from the norm of their communication. The norm of their communication. And the norm of their communication will also come, will also have its roots in their culture. The norm of communication will have its roots in their culture. Culture. So that means you can't take away culture from communication, many times. Hallelujah. For example, look at what Peter said in Acts 2. When Peter was to explain their experience, he says, this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. He said, it shall come to pass in the last days. Now, when you pick that word last days, you must not read it in your world. Because if you read it in your world, you might think it's referring to rapture, or like we call it, rapture. Or end of the world. The world is coming to an end. No. Remember, Peter was explaining something that just happened. Did you see that? Automatically, that should make you know that last days they weren't talking about end of the world. Something just happened, and he said, this thing was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that this will happen in the last days. And it has happened. So that means our definition of last days must be in line with how scripture has taught or how scripture has called it. Amen. You say, it's last days, so Jesus will just come today. What do you mean by all that? What do you mean by all that? Hallelujah. Some people, they can't sleep once it's 12 a.m. They are thinking, what if trumpet sound? Some people are just so funny. Hallelujah. So let's see. Last days, right? Last days. So let's see something. Remember, we said we have to look at the origin of that word, right? And moreover, here, Peter is reading from who? Joel. Let's get to Joel quickly. Joel. Let's quickly see Joel. Joel 2. I don't think we've been in Joel today. Have we? At all. Okay, this is where we should have been earlier on this morning. Joel 2. Why you are in Joel 2? When Peter used the word last days there, is a Greek word eschatos. Last day is the word eschatos. Before we get to Joel, is the word eschatos. Now that word eschatos doesn't mean end of the world. No. No. Hallelujah. It's the word that means at last. At last. When you hear the word, at last. That's last days. At last. Do you see that? Or a word used for a fulfillment of something. A fulfillment of something. Eschatos. A fulfillment of something. That word is used in Hebrews chapter 1. Put your hands in Joel 2 and rush down to Hebrews 1, verse 1. Hebrews 1, 1. Are you there? Come on, let's be fast. Okay, Hebrews 1:1. It said, God, who at sundry time and in diverse manner spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophet. Did you see that? God in time past spoke to the fathers by the prophet. Had in these last days spoken to us in his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Did you see that? It said, in these last days. And wasn't referring to end of the world. It was referring to what? the days of Jesus, listen, in these last days, referring to the words of Jesus, the incarnation and the resurrection, he calls the last days fulfillment. Did you see that? So that means in the words of Jesus, you find the words of the prophets fulfilled. So he calls the days of Jesus, the incarnation, he calls it last days. So that means last days must be given the context of scriptures, not end of world. Amen. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So he must give it the context in scriptures. Eschatos. So it is used for a fulfillment. So that means in the words of Christ, right? In the words of Christ, we have found the fulfillment of scriptures. Hallelujah. Let's see a few. So let's get back to Joel 2. Let's see the origin of that word last days. Let's see where he's reading from. In verse 28, he says, "It shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." Now, watch this. Joel didn't say last days. Did you see that? Joel said afterwards. Watch it. And we're going to see why Peter used the word last days. Hallelujah. Joel said afterwards. Hope you're following me. Let's see why the use of that word afterwards. And then every other thing Joel said was what Peter said. Afterwards and last days. That word afterwards, we saw it last convention. That's the word akar. A-C-H-E-R. Akar. A-C-H-E-R. Is used for what follows something. Something that follows another thing or an occasion. Something that follows another thing or an occasion. Okay, follow me. Something that comes after. Amen. Something that comes after an occasion or something. Hallelujah. Now, that is used to show a fulfillment. Okay, follow me. It's used to show a fulfillment. That word is from another word, akarit. 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 That word akarit is used for last days itself. So it tells you what last day means. Last day means actually a fulfillment. What follows? This is that something that happens afterwards. Amen. Amen. So akarit is used for last days. In Genesis 49 verse 1. Go to Genesis 49. This is Genesis 49. Watch there quickly. Verse 1. It says, "And Jacob said unto his sons," Amen. "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you the things that shall befall you in the last days." You see that? In Genesis, they use the word, Moses used the word last days in Genesis. So that means if he was using the word last days, he was using it in the context of scriptures. Hallelujah. Did you see that? So when Moses, when Jacob said last days, he was referring to a fulfillment. Do you see that? This is what will happen to you in the fullness of time. So that word akarit is used for a full circle. It's a full circle. A fullness of time. Hallelujah. Amen. This will happen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's get back to what we're looking at. So it is not referring to an end. Do you see that? Last days is not referring to an end. If you put it in our words today, hallelujah, it's actually a fullness of time. In Numbers 24, quickly, Numbers 24, verse 14. It says, "And now behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the later days." You use the word later days. Let me show you what they will do to you in the later days, that is in future. So that means when you see this thing, it is fulfilled. Did you see that? Did you see that? When you see this thing, it is fulfilled. This will happen later on. It's not end of the world. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Okay. So automatically you can see that last days says it's not end of the world, right? Can you, are you following me? Is the end of the world? No. I'm waiting, you know, you're not bringing science theories. That's the air. The sun is in the, was in a gigantic form. Now it is a dioxin form. Very soon the sun will not turn red. After it turns red, it will not turn to blood. And then, last days. No! Stop saying nonsense. You don't know what you're talking about. You're with the God. Last days there, he's talking about fulfillment. Well, let's see, go back to Joel. Let's get back to Joel. Joel 2. And let's see. Let's see. What he calls, he says, it shall come to pass afterwards. So let's see what is the occasion that would happen that will be called afterwards. Did you see that? Let's see that occasion. Let's get to verses 1. It says, blow your trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. You see that? For it is nigh at hand. What would he call that event that would happen? Then we will have afterwards. What is that event? The day of the Lord cometh. So now, this is what a lot of people, oh, what is the day of the Lord cometh? Trumpet! Some people went to Jerry Boys Brigade and they can be blowing trumpets in case you. Rapture. No. Say the day of the Lord. What does it mean when he says the day of the Lord cometh? Yeah, the day of the Lord there is not referring to rapture. It's not rapture. It's not judgment day. No. Rather, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord that cometh, is used to talk about God's visit. God's visit. The day of the Lord implies God's visit. Day of the Lord cometh is used to talk about God's visit. In the book of Genesis, God's visit is for salvation. We're going to see that shortly. God's visit is always for salvation. Look at Exodus 20. Where a lot of people have been, what about when the Bible said, I will visit the iniquities of the fathers? Okay, Exodus 20, verse 3. It says here, it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make thyself a graven image or likeness of anything, as in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or is under the water. Amen. That is in the water under the earth. Say, for thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, jealous. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And I said, hey, what he says, look at God's visiting there now. God visiting is to visit iniquity. So some people now say, the reason why things are wrong with you is because of what your father did. Are you okay? Because of what your grandfather did, so there is a, some people call it, there is a generational curse. All those things are taboo. Everybody that tells you that, just want to take your money. Next thing here is, bring money. That we can do some spiritual cookies for you. Oh, you will not bring money. Don't do those things. Hallelujah. See, there's some things wrong with the foundation. Which kind of foundation? Foundation of what? It's not the foundation. Nonsense. And yet, you now come and say, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. And you are talking foundation. Give yourself a break. It's a new creation. All things are passing away. Any foundation. There is nothing like that. Nothing like that. Even an unbeliever. The Bible says, the father will not eat grape. And the teeth of the children will begin to. The one who chop grape, now it is good. Amen. So we need to see this. No, sir, what does it mean by God will visit the iniquity of the fathers? Let's deal with that, right? What does it mean to visit the iniquity of the fathers? That word visit there is the word pakad. P-A-Q-A-D. Pakad. Rather, Let's see how does Moses use this word visit. Let's see how Moses uses the word visit. Moses. Look at Genesis 21. That is the same word visit. Genesis 21. Verses 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Verse 2, for Sarah conceived. Did you see that? So God visited Sarah and Sarah conceived. Did you see that? Amen. Can you see that? God's visit to Sarah was not to kill Sarah. Hallelujah. Before now, in chapter 19, God went to Sodom. When God got to Sodom, what did he do? Say, did God destroy Sodom or went to save? Let me see those who have not been coming to church. No, God destroyed Sodom. God listened to our message, the revelation of God. Listen to it. 9 sessions. Well equipped for you to get blessing. Amen. So pick that message. Pick that teaching. It's very vital. Amen. So God didn't go to Sodom to destroy Sodom. What God went to do in Sodom was to save. And when he couldn't save them, he only saved Lot, because Lot was the only one who responded. Hallelujah. God gave them time. Lot went ahead to preach to others. Come, salvation has come. They shut their doors at him. How can you tell us that? Because what did God see? God had seen the destruction that was coming to Sodom. So he went to Sodom to save and to rescue them. Hallelujah. But he could only rescue Lot and his family, minus his wife. Hallelujah. So we have that teaching in the revelation of God. You can actually pick up that message. Hallelujah. Amen. So God's visit was salvation, was to save. In Genesis 39, verse 4, Genesis 39, 4, that word pakar was used for to oversee. 39, verse 4. To oversee. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and in his sight, which is his master, and he served him and made him overseer. That's the word to oversee. That word oversee means order. Order. Isn't that order? Use of order to organize. Hallelujah. In Genesis 50, verses 24. Genesis 50, 24. He says, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you. Did you see that? And bring you out of this land to the land which he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Did you see that? So, what did he call the visit of God there? Deliverance. God will bring you out. How are you following me? God will bring you out. So, God's visit is for deliverance. Did you see that? Salvation. Exodus chapter 3, quickly. Exodus 3, verse 16. Follow me now. We're talking about visit now. Exodus 3, 16. The same word. Let go, gather the elders of Israel together, and say to them, the Lord God of your father, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and see that which is done to you in Egypt. I've said, I'll bring you up out of affliction of Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanite the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hebusite and the Jebusite, unto the land flowing with milk and honey. Did you see that? So God's visit to them is that he will bring them out. Did you see that? So God's visit is for deliverance, is for salvation. Hope you're following that. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 31. Exodus 4, 31. See, and the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. Did you see that? Amen. So God's visit there was not to inflict them with affliction, but to take away the affliction. Did you see that? So God's visit is not to destroy, but to save. Exodus 13 verse 9, Exodus 30 verse 12 into 13. So that means, listen, God's visit is for salvation. Now there's something else you want to see. Exodus 34. The same is similar with Numbers. Let's see Exodus 34. Verse 7. It says, keeping mercy. Now mercy there is forgiveness. Hallelujah. Mercy there is forgiveness. Mercy there is forgiveness, salvation. Now I say keeping mercy, he's talking about God, keeping mercy for thousands. God keeps mercy for thousands. Forgiving iniquities and transgression and sin. Do you see that? Do you see that? God forgives iniquities and sin and will by no means clear the guilt. Now, mark that by no means clear the guilt. Mark it in your Bible, because I'm going to tell you what that means. Visiting the iniquities. Now, it's not explaining what God does. He has said earlier on that God forgives the iniquities and transgression of sin. So he's explaining it as what? Visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children under the third and fourth generation. Did you see that? That's what he's explaining. So God forgives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So when he used the word, by no means clearing out the guilt, is one word. Is one word in the Hebrew. And has the word naqa. N-A-Q-A-H. That word means, that says, now if the translator's bias to use that word, by no means clearing the guilt. But that word is one word that means to clear. Did you see that? So that by no means there is actually to me is a syntax error. It should be he clears the guilt. Do you see that? He clears the guilt. God clears the guilt. Because he can't say forgiving iniquity for thousands and yet now say he will by no means clear the guilt. Because since you are forgiving these sins, I want to clear the guilt. Did you see that? So he used that one word to imply that God throws them out. That's God's nature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You find the same word for word again using Numbers. Numbers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Numbers 21, verse 14. Sorry, I call number 21. Sorry. I keep Numbers 14 rather. Look at verse 18. It says, and the Lord is long suffering and great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilt. Did you see that? The same word, naka. Do you see that? So can we say by every means clearing the guilt there? Right? And that's what he calls visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the fourth and third generation. Or unto the third and fourth generation. Look at verse 19. Pardon. Did you see that? And the Lord said, I have pardoned, verse 20, according to thy word. Did you see that? So the word there, God's visit is not to put sin or to kill. God's visit is salvation. God's visit is what? Salvation. Glory to God. Salvation. So therefore, put that back to Joel 2 verse 1, when it says the day of the Lord cometh. That means the coming of the Lord is salvation. Hope you are following that. The coming of the Lord is what? Salvation. Salvation. Back to Numbers 2. Numbers 2. I mean, I think numbers to Joel 2, sorry. Joel 2. Hallelujah. So, the coming of the Lord is for salvation. And you can see how he explained it. Joel explained that coming of the Lord in verses 12. He said, therefore, I expect you read from verse, you read everything down to 12, so now you understand it better. Therefore, also now, say the Lord, turn ye even unto me with all your heart. This is that? That's the day of the Lord. He said, turn unto me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Verse 13, and rend your heart, and not your garment. Do you see that? And turn unto the Lord your God. Is that salvation? Amen. He said, rend your heart, and not your garment. Now, that word to rend there is the word used for salvation. Rend your heart. So, in salvation, in the Lord's coming, right? In the Lord's coming, in the day of the Lord, in the visit of the Lord, right? I want you to say what? In the last day, right? Right? We can now do what? In the last day, come on, look up. He has called the day of the Lord. I mean, the Lord cometh. What does he call it? The day of the Lord, right? He called it what? The day of salvation. The Lord's day, right? Right? The last day. Yes? So what will then happen in the last day? 26. Now, we are saved. Now, well, there's already salvation. Then what will happen in verse 26? I mean, verse 28. What will happen? We will now take off the spirits in salvation within and put it upon. Hope you are seeing that. What we saw yesterday night. You now, so in the Lord's day, you will take off the spirit within and put upon. Hallelujah. So that will be, it should come to pass, I'll pour out of my spirit. You see that? Look at how Joel put it. I will pour out of my spirit. So where is the spirit in the Lord's day? In the believer. So I will pour out of my spirit. Is that? To pour out of my spirit. To take from within upon me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me now. Hope you're following me now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that means, what you can have as an activity in the last day will be the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can have that as an activity in the last day. Let's pause a bit. Let's still look at that last day again. Now, we'll see that Joel, when he writes last day, he is writing for me.
He's writing for me. Joel is writing for Moses, right? Let's get back to Moses and see last day. Now we saw Genesis 49, right? Now because of confusion, now when Moses writes last days, and he used last days, he explained that you see how he has used days. How did he use days in Genesis 1? In Genesis, we're going to look at that. How did he use days in Genesis? The whole round of the other. And I need to show you this. Amen. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. How did he use days? Look at Genesis chapter number 1. I go. Genesis chapter 2 first. Genesis 2. What is Genesis 2, verse 1? It said, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and the host of them, and the seventh day. Now remember, I told you that part of when you get to the origin of words, many times Moses will employ the culture of their day. Many times that culture of their day might also be a borrowed culture. Hallelujah. It might also be a borrowed culture. Now, Moses used seventh day. Seventh day. Now here's what he said. He said the heavens and the earth were completed. Where is he getting heaven and earth for? Hope you open your Bible. Hope you have with your Bibles, everybody. Because what I want to show you now is very vital. Now, when he used heaven and earth, what is he writing heaven and earth for? He's writing heaven and earth from Genesis chapter 1. He says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Heavens and the earth. Yeah, Moses is not writing creation of the world. It's not heaven and earth, it's not creation of matter. Some people think Moses is writing matter. Yeah, no, it's not matter. Hallelujah. He says, God created the heavens and the earth. And heaven in their world is used for the immaterial. For the immaterial. Many times, it's used for God. The supernatural. Hallelujah. For God. When Jesus was talking about heaven, he says, our Father who is in heaven. Isn't that? So heaven is used for God. Earth is used for man. We have that in a couple of passages. Earth is used for man. So when he said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, I showed you something earlier. In God's marriage, you find man in God. Right? That's God's marriage. Union of man and God. So when then heaven and earth, yeah, he's referring to that same union. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Heavens will be used for God and earth will be used for man. So this is God's dream world. God's dream world is for everyone to be united with him. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. God, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants all men to be saved, all men to be found in him. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me now. Hallelujah. So when you get to Genesis 1:2, for you to know it's not matter, it's not creation of mountains. No, no, no. Verse 2 now says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. So when he is about question of matter, so that means God didn't create something. It did not create the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. He now said the earth is without form and void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. Darkness. Darkness there is a spiritual state. Darkness. So he's saying now in chapter 1, he says heaven and earth. Chapter 1, verse 1, he says heaven and earth. In chapter 1, verse 2, he says the earth alone. You didn't find the heavens. Meaning, man without God is darkness. That's what he's writing. You must understand how they wrote in their world. It's just like picking up the book. If a student today picks up the book of Chinua Achebe, things fall apart. If you don't read it in his world, you will miss what he's writing. Because you're not going to read it in your world today. You can't get what he's talking about. Because he was addressing things in his world. That's why some literature students who are lazy find literature to be hard. I'm telling you the truth. Find to be very hard. No one is not this. He's using someone. What is this technology? And that is why in your literature book, I'm a student of literature. In your literature book, you find the things. You know, you're not going into things, the plots. You are seeing it. Why are they like this? You will see the context upon which those words are used. If they are a good student of literature, if you understand how literature are written, you will enjoy literature. Hallelujah. I read a book like that. Excuse me, about his death. That book was one of the boringest, most boring books I've ever read. What is all this? Until one day, I picked up a material like that explained that book. I now read the material. The material made the book interesting. I went back to the book. I picked the book. I was so prepared for my head. I said to them, I now love the book. After my wife, I read that book like 3 times. Not a joke. 3 times. So the material said, what is it? Don't your mother who far? Because you are not reading. You are trying to use those words in your world. No. Amen. The Bible also is like a literary material. You have to place yourself in their world and hear how they use words. Hallelujah. So when you hear Chico Chabé say, things fall apart, the center cannot hold. Make anarchy produce upon the earth. And you are thinking, the center cannot hold. What is he talking about? Is he talking about the center of the earth? Is he talking about the center of gravity? No! Hallelujah. He's referring to something that is very, very vital. And was dealing with his world. Hope you're following me. Amen. Amen. The same thing too that this young artist did, Asha, is a jailer, Mr. Jailer man. Don't just like the beat, but you don't know what it's all about. You have to be in her shoes to see what she's singing. David, I want to chop money for my government. But you don't know about me. What's he talking about? Jailer. See, if you understand literature, you will love it. Literature is not some novel that people will pick up. Just keep novel and reading romantic novel. Literature! Amen? So, if you understand literature, Genesis 1 wouldn't be hard for you to see. That when it says earth, he needs you to see earth from his context. Earth without the heaven is darkness. And what is God down to? Verse 3. And the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of the Lord. Sorry, that's the verse. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. That word light there is the word all. Let there be light. A word that is used for God. The Hebrew word is higher all. It means I am light. God is saying, He is light. This is that I am light. Let there be light. And there was light. This is that. So that means in the face of darkness. Who is darkness? Man without God is darkness. God says, I am the solution to man. Hold up for you. That's what God says. I am the solution there. In the face of darkness, God becomes the answer. Glory to God. Glory to God. And God saw the light in us. So you have to read like that. Hallelujah. So God offers himself as the answer. As the answer. So when you get to Genesis 2:18, so darkness, listen, the earth without God, the earth without the heaven is darkness, right? That is man without God. Genesis 2:18. It doesn't say it's not good for man to be alone, and you are thinking it's a woman. No! Hallelujah! It's not good for a man to be alone, and you are thinking a man that has been married is not good. No! It is not good for man to be alone. He wants you to go back to Genesis 1:2. The earth without the heavens. Man without God. What am I following this? Then I will make him a helpmeet. I will make him a helpmeet. It is no woman, no. Woman is not helpmeet. Let your girl smile on top of and be ready. Woman will help you. Amen. You feel that you can be doing and pushing them on top of and be. Then you know woman is not helpmeet. The way you want to get, I have to get married because I want somebody to wash my clothes. I want somebody to cook for me. Amen. Sometimes reality check shows up. That's not what I have to say. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So reality check shows up on some people. So when you read Genesis 2:18, you have to come back again and read Genesis 1:2. To see that man without God is the same thing as the earth without the heavens. What am I going to do? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look up here. Okay, let's go ahead. Yes, I already do the answer. Okay, so now I said heaven, the earth without the heaven is man without God, right? Right? So when it says I'll make him a helpmeet, is not woman. Chapter 2, verse 18. Hallelujah. Helpmeet there, the word is Isa. Isa is the word used for God alone. Hallelujah. Isa is the word used for God alone. All true scriptures, Old and New Testament. Never was a woman called Israel. Never! Never was a woman called helpmeet. No! It's God that is helping. Hallelujah. Amen? The time that I will look up to the heat, the Lord covers my head from the Lord. Not woman. Hallelujah. What are you doing? Yeah, you know, I'm making the bone of my own. No, let's go. Are you incomplete? And you're walking straight. And then I'm looking for my missing ridge. But your ridge not be missing in Jesus' name. You know what you for your ridge to be missing? And you're walking straight. You're walking like this. And I'm looking for my missing ridge. Not the missing ridge. It was spinal cord that you took it for. It was missing ridge. Amen. You have to know the truth. Just as we are trying our talking line, you only talking line. Amen. You are an angel. You are an angel. Angel. Not the angel. I let you now blushing. Oh, I'm an angel. Not the angel. You are an angel. That person I have inspired sins. They said the lady has done with the word. If the lady
Amen.
If the lady knows the word, she will love us.
Sister, you are an angel. And you have said, are you sure? That sister has a dedicated transit. Because you know, angel is a star. So which of the angels are you there? Sit at the right hand. You stay there.
Amen. Amen. But you understand what I'm talking about.
Hallelujah. So woman can't be the helpmate. The helpmate can only be God. Let's round it up. Hallelujah. So you have to see that when it says heaven and earth, it's not talking about matter. Talking about God and man. And all through Genesis, you will see that it keeps referring to that same fact. Let's make man in our image, after our likeness. Let it have dominion. Let's make man in our image. So God has been talking about that union, himself with man. Himself with man. Hallelujah. Amen. So Moses now employs something. Amen. So, Moses employed 7 days to teach God's oracle. He now brings in 7 days. Now, before you begin to think day one, God now doing 12 a.m. or let's go to day 12 a.m. No! Moses employed 7 days. Now, why did he do 7 days? It was, he used it, he's about to teach them something. I need you to listen to me now. Now, it's a culture they had in Egypt. He brought him the 7 days in Egypt. And in the 7 days in Egypt, the last day, which is the seventh day, is usually a day set aside for them to worship that deity. Did you see that? It's called the Sabbath day. Till tomorrow, they still celebrate Sabbath day in Egypt. So it's called the Sabbath day. So Moses employed that same seven. He's writing something. He's writing to people who understood, who were coming out from Egypt. So they understood the days in Egypt. Is that? So he writes that. Now, when they are entering the 7 day to worship their deity, Moses now says, no. That 7 day Sabbath day is not to worship the deities of this world, but it should be reserved for God. So he writes it as God's rest. Genesis 2, verse 2. On the 7th day, God ended his work which he had made, and rested on the 7th day from the works which he had made. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, he rested on the 7th day. So the 7th day is last day. This is the concept of last day. 7th day, last day. Watch it. Now, what happened on the last day? God ended his work. I need you to pay attention. God ended his work. Now that 7th day, last day means fulfillment, completion. So the heavens and the earth were finished, completed on the 7th day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, just like, so the 7 days there, it will be very, very, you'll be very, very, on serious to reach 7 days that they want to discern. It's just like when Moses writes and puts, tells you that in the Garden of Eden there were trees and they were to eat from the trees, tree of life and tree of knowledge of good and evil, and you are thinking there is a literal tree where they will eat, and in your head you are thinking it's apple. It's not only apple. When you say it's guava, when you say it's abanimo, when you say it's a... No! If you are a good student of literature, you should understand what is writing. So he employs what is available in their world. Because in their world, they know that when it comes to trees and... Now, when you use the word eat, it is not literal eat on them, no. It there is actually to have faith or not to have faith, to believe or not to believe. So it's just something that you will find everywhere. He puts two options. Hope you're following me. He puts, gives them options, two options available to every man. Two options. And he says to eat or not to eat. So you'll be unwise to now call it food or to call it tree. What kind of tree? I remember one time and they told us it's fruit. The kind of fruit that used to grow on base that we don't know the name till tomorrow. Fruit as life, food don't like, you now plug it and eat it. Somebody one day now say, you'll be naked. And you're not reading nakedness as literal nakedness. How can you be literal nakedness? Did you get that? So you have to go back to their world. We have series of teachings on this, so you have to get to pick them up. Hallelujah. So let's quickly round up this quickly. I've said it the second time. Okay, three times. Cock will crow three times. Amen. Glory to God. So the seventh day is Moses employing an Egyptian culture to teach God's oracle. Now that seventh day in Egypt is called the Sabbath day, a day set aside to worship the deity of Egypt. Now look at what he calls that seventh day. Exodus 20 verse 11. What are we following? Exodus 20:11. He said, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and all that is in, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore he blessed the Sabbath day. Did you see that? He called the seventh day Sabbath day and hallowed it. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. So listen. So he said, God rested on the Sabbath day. Hallelujah. So Sabbath day there means to cease work. To cease work. He rested. He ceased his work. Showing you in God's Sabbath. And why would Moses write it like this? In God's Sabbath, he wants you to see that he tells them to do no work. So that you will see that in God's Sabbath is not about man's work, but about God's work. You see that? So they will not do any work on the Lord's Sabbath. You see that? They will not do any work because the Sabbath will not be man's work, but God's work. Mark that. That is one. Two. Read that again with Deuteronomy 5:15. Let's see what the Sabbath day really means. Deuteronomy 5:15. I told you Deuteronomy is second law. So he repeats the same thing here to them in Deuteronomy. This time a different audience. Amen. Deuteronomy 5:15. Say, and remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God brought thee out, hence through a mighty hand, and by an outstretched arm. Wherefore the Lord thy God command thee to keep the Sabbath day. Did you see that? In Exodus, he told them God created, God made the earth in 7 days and the rested on the Sabbath day. Yeah, he was telling them, he didn't mention the creation Genesis 2, rather he mentioned the Sabbath day with regards to how the Lord delivered them from Egypt, showing you that the Sabbath day is about God's salvation. And God's salvation will be God's work, not man's work. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Will be God's work, not man's work. The Sabbath day. You take note, the Sabbath day is not a particular day. Moses only employed a particular day. Now Moses employed a particular day that they know and gave it to them as a shadow, not a literal day. Amen. So he gave them a day to be observing it, for them to see that the Lord's day, which is not a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, right? But the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday will be included in the Lord's day. Did you get that? Did you get that? So you find your days in the Lord's day. The Lord's day is not a particular day, but all days. We're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Amen. Amen. So the Lord's day is not a particular day. The Sabbath, you say, Sabbath is on Sunday, Sabbath is on Saturday. I give you the two both of you is Martina and Starks looking for who's taller. And Pepsi is working and looking at them. Or about Pepsi, what are you looking at them? Martina and Martoni are fighting for who's taller. Amen. That's what it is. Amen. You guys are short. You guys are wrong. Hallelujah. Don't get into such argument. Other people argue, is it alcohol wine or red wine? Is purple wine? Nonsense. Just work fast. They are not serious people. Hallelujah. Amen. Hope you are understanding me. So therefore, it comes with deliverance, God's salvation. Therefore, heaven and earth is God's salvation. Did you see that? Amen. The heaven and earth was finished on the Lord's day. So the Lord's day is showing you that heaven and earth is the salvation. So the Sabbath is heaven and earth, God and man, union. Do you get that? God and man, union. What does it mean? Heaven and earth, indwelling of the Spirit, right? Is in new birth. When a man gets saved, that is the seventh day. That means when a man gets born again, he is in the Lord's day. Hallelujah! He is in the Lord's day. So every other day of that man's life is in that day. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. So the Lord's day is not a particular day, but actually the believer's whole life. So the Lord's day is eternal life. Hope you're following me. The Lord's day is what? Eternal life. If the Lord's day is not rapture, it's eternal life. What we have received. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, what we receive? We receive. The Lord's day. Jesus will not talk about it. In John chapter 2, he calls it my hour. In John chapter 14, he calls it in that day. Which day? The Lord's day. Which day? In that day. He says, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me and I in you. Did you see that? In the Lord's day, we have that union, heaven and earth together. Not a particular day, but the believer's whole life. Hallelujah. So, it's in that day that you will then have the Spirit in that day. Is it a particular day? No. But rather, in that day, which is the believer's life, you would have to put the Spirit upon always. Hallelujah. So Peter will now say, listen, Peter will now say, he said, in the last days. Listen to that. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. In the last days. Did you hear that? Where's the last days? In the resurrection. In the union of man and God, what would you have as an activity then? Baptism of the Holy Ghost. We've been full of this. That's why we have that instruction. Always in the scripture. Don't be drunk with wine, but be continually filled. Because an activity in the Lord's day. How are you following me? In an activity where in the Lord's day. We have that instruction to always be full of the Spirit. Always. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I'm in the Lord's day. We are in His day. Say, I'm in His day. I'm in His day. Hallelujah. We don't go in and out of His day. No, we are in His day forever. Hallelujah. My hours are in His day. My months are in His day. My days are in His day. My years are in His day. My days, my everything are in His day. Hallelujah. I function in His name. I function in His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's just, you are saying, I function in His ability. I function with His Spirit. I function every day in His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't talk to argue. I'm in His name. I'm in His name. partake of the Spirit within of Paul. I'm in his name. Hallelujah. Paul is readily available in his name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's be on our feet. Let's thank the Lord. Oh, as we prepare for tonight. Times of encounters tonight.